From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And we are doing that by sharing stories of winning, and that's all part of building the backyard advantage. And on today's show, we're going to have Stephen Tankersley. He is the owner of Tankersley Construction. He is part of our backyard. He is a highly successful entrepreneur. He builds new homes. He does remodels. He and his team are nothing short of phenomenal. I happen to know them through my son's fiance, and they really are remarkable people, and they give back to our community in such a special way. And I think that's what happens when an entrepreneur succeeds. When an entrepreneur succeeds, they end up bringing success to other people. They have done that by helping with the Haney Biz golf tournament. They've done that for our Comedy for Our Cause, which, by the way, is coming up, and helping veterans. I'll share a little bit more of that at the end of the show. But Stephen's going to share his story of building the company, and he's got some unique marketing technique, and he's got an interesting way that he's building his culture. He and his wife, Heather, have done something spectacular in building their team. And when you have a smaller company that's highly successful and growing, it's very important that you have the right culture so that you can attract the right people and you can continue on the successful journey that you've been on. So stick around, listen to the show. And at the end of the show, I'm going to talk a little bit more about, actually, I'm going to introduce something that I haven't done much of on the show. And it's a Ask Me Anything. I'll share a little bit more about that at the end of the show. But people want to ask me questions about all kinds of stuff, about how to win in business. Some of it's around my experience. But what I will do at the end of the show is I won't share advice per se, but I will share a point of view that you get from an old guy. My grandkids call me Fog occasionally, freaking old guy, and I'll give you some Fog experience sharing, and it will be one of those ask me anything times, and people have been asking me questions, and I sort of answer them one off, but I'm bringing those questions to the rest of you as well. And hopefully it can be helpful in your journey of winning. So stick around and enjoy the Stephen Tankersley version of the Mark Haney Show. Stick around, my friends.
Entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy. They take the risks, create the opportunities, and move the molecules. Now, back to the Marquee Media Studio, it's the Mark Haney Show.
And now I am honored to be joined by Stephen Tankersley. He is the owner and founder of Tankersley Construction. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about residential construction and how Stephen built this business. But let's take a minute just to get to know you a little bit, Stephen. Maybe give us a little of your background and how you started the company.
Yeah, well, I'm honored to be here, first of all. You have an amazing building here, and just culture and everything is awesome. So
thank you.
I started the company, actually co-founded it with my wife, Heather Tankersley. We started it together in 2017. So we just had our 5-year anniversary about 3 weeks ago. So November 1st, 2017. Rewinding it back from there, my wife and I, Heather, we worked in commercial construction for over a decade each, building some of the coolest projects in Sacramento.
Did you work together or did you work separately?
Well, that's kind of a funny story. So we actually worked separately, but we actually met on a job site. So I was a general contractor. We're working this job in the Delta, and she was our subcontractor for the electrical company. So we met and we kind of hit it off, started dating. So we didn't work together. We never really worked at the same company, but we did have that one project we worked together on. And we met in 2008, working through commercial construction. And, you know, that was a challenging time, as you know, in 2008, 2010, the whole time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And bounced around a little bit. And I always knew, I always liked construction, but I never really liked all the office side, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So when you get into commercial construction, a lot of people don't know residential versus commercial. When you're on a $100 million project, there's a lot of paperwork and you're kind of just in a trailer all day or in an office. You don't really get your hands on. So, you know, Heather and I, we started having kids. We had our first son, Hunter, in 2015. And at that time, you know how it is with kids. You're working construction. You're kind of all over. Heather's working in San Francisco. I'm working in Merced. You know, we got to be home for, you know, 5 o'clock daycare pickup. Started getting really difficult. And I knew I wanted to do something in construction, entrepreneurship. And at that time, I really liked real estate. I really liked construction. And my wife, Heather, she pushed me, said, hey, get your license in real estate, you know, see where that goes. So I got my license in real estate in 2016, became a licensed realtor. And I was selling some houses on the side. And my first year did really good. And I was still working full time, had a baby at home. And then she goes, well, get your contractor's license. So 2016, that same year, I got my contractor's license. I remember studying at night and, you know, we had a baby go down. I'd study, take the test, took some time off work, got my license. So this was around 2016. And I really wasn't happy at my job. And I was like, hey, I don't know if it's the job I'm at or if it's the industry I don't like or what is it I'm not happy about, right? I need a change. So 2016, I said, look, I'm going to take another job. I actually didn't start my company at that time. I had my license. I had everything kind of built up in the back end. And I said, okay, I'm going to go to another company. I went to a really large contractor in town here, worked for them, built some really cool stuff, worked on a 200,000 square foot remodel for them for PG&E. And again, still wasn't happy. And I said, you know what? This isn't working out for me. Coincidentally, 10 months into this new job, I got laid off. So I wasn't there very long. And at that time, I just found out Heather was pregnant with our second child, Bryce. And I remember driving home, I was working in Auburn, driving down the road. And I said, hey, I just lost my job. She's 3 months pregnant.
Oh, man.
And she goes, I don't even know what to do. And she goes, go for it. Start the company. I had the website built, had the licensing, had everything going. And I said, oh, you're right. I should go for it. So I remember sitting down at my desk that day, got home to the office and I sat down at my desk and I got my laptop out and opened it up. I said, well, how do you start a company, right? Yeah. Where do you go from here? So that's how it started. It's been a wild ride and we got plenty of stories to share.
What's
on that.
The company look like today? So I know of your company because you and I have met out at the golf course. You're supporting some of the things we're doing. Brittany, my son's fiance, works at your company.
Total rock star.
And I see your stuff on social media and it's incredible the stuff that you're building. And so the company went from being a startup with your wife, pregnant and you're unemployed to really, you built something really special there. Maybe just give us an overview of what the company looks like today.
Well, today we have 9 employees total in the company. We self-perform our own carpentry work, so cabinetry, millwork, some framing. So we have some carpenters and we're located in Rancho Cordova, California, really focus on the Sacramento region. And we really selective with our clients and just trying to build the ultimate, experience for our clients. We do about 15 projects a year. We're not absolutely huge, but they're good sized projects. And we really focus on complexity. So it's something that maybe your average contractor can't perform or doesn't have the capacity to perform. Someone listening to this might not realize there is a big difference between residential and commercial construction. You're building out your office here. The level of communication scheduling, details, and just overall professionalism in commercial construction is a lot different than residential. So we like to say we are a commercial contractor building residential projects. For all intents and purposes, we take the same principles you would get in a $100 million hospital project into your addition or your custom home.
So let's talk about the state of the industry right now. I think a lot of people that listen to this show are affected by interest rates. Mm-hmm. They're affected by inflation. They're beginning to become maybe a little bit concerned about, you know, what's going to happen with the stock market and what's going on with the value of their house. Yeah. Their value of their house is starting to decline here in the Sacramento region. So is that affecting your business? What do you see in terms of sentiment?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely affecting, you know, our business or any other business, right? We tend to work with clients who have had these visions for their home for a long time. We don't work with flippers. We don't really work with people who want a four-week kitchen remodel. That's just not our general clientele. We have referrals for that kind of work. But our typical client is someone, hey, I've lived in my house for 20, 30 years. I'm not moving anywhere. I need more space. I need a master suite because I'm, you know, aging in place, or I want to build a custom home. I've had this plan for 5 years. You know, that those types of clients, certainly interest rates and overall market does affect them, but not as much as other clientele, right. If that makes
They're
sense.
They're not living on 5% down, 10% down, and I can barely make my payment. They've right. got equity in their home, and they're in it for the long haul. So it's a different kind. It's probably mm-hmm. a more affluent buyer.
Yeah, typically our buyers are more affluent. A lot of our clients, you know, our business owners, our executives, you know, they're a little more insulated from the ebbs and flows of the market. So what we've seen is, I mean, I'll be honest, like 6 months ago, I mean, 8 months ago, we were getting dozens and dozens of calls a week for everything from little bathroom models, dry rot repair, all this stuff. And it's funny because we have a new office manager, and I told Jen when we first came on, she's getting all these calls, and we were referring 99% of these calls out, and we're saying, this isn't a good fit. And she's like, do you guys bid on anything? Like, no, we do. It just has to be a good fit for us mutually. So what we've seen is a lot of those smaller stuff that's gotten a lot quieter. And I think people are certainly on the sidelines, and that's okay. But our projects we have in the pipeline, we have a really busy 2023 next year. We're almost completely booked out for next year. And those projects are people who, hey, I need an ADU, which is an accessory dwelling unit, granny flat for my mother-in-law. I need an addition because I have another baby coming. I want a custom home because, you know, I just moved here from the Bay Area. Those clients, they're not going to be affected by whether interest rates are 4.5% or 8.5%.
Yeah. It's interesting. We have a concrete company, and it's called Plaster Concrete. We haven't really been affected by this either. We do probably 50% commercial, 50%, maybe a little more than 50% commercial, and maybe 30-40% residential. And they're still busy. They're mm-hmm. still having trouble keeping up with the amount of work that's out there. So what kind of, okay, so if the economy is not affecting you in a dramatic way, from a negative standpoint, what challenges do you run into now? Because my guys are still concerned about, you know, getting great teammates, yeah. right? To have we have a great team, but maintaining that culture in a competitive labor market is pretty difficult.
Yeah, one of the biggest challenge we have, I would say, overall, in the economy, I don't want to override that. The economy certainly is something we are always keeping in the back of our minds. I've lived through 2008, and you know, we're always looking ahead. Is this going to happen again? Certainly a different market now. What our biggest challenge though is just consumer education and pricing. Construction is, especially residential construction, is one of those things. You can Google a cost of anything, and you can find out what it costs to buy a Mercedes. You can find out what it costs to, you know, buy an iPhone. Construction is one of the few things that's almost secretive. Nobody knows what's a kitchen remodel cost, because the only information out there It's bad information. It's HGTV. It's your neighbor who did a remodel 10 years ago with their friend. So what we're educating, we're talking to people, and we have beautiful work. We have a great portfolio. I would love to have some of these projects in my own home. But when we're talking to people and they go, I want that kitchen, I go, hey, you realize that's a $150,000 kitchen. And it sometimes it blows their mind.
Your sticker shock, like, and, what?
And, you know, the reality is like, that's, you take all the pieces and you put it together, that's what it costs.
You kind of, like, if when you're ballparking somebody, you say, look, for a super high-end custom kitchen, it's X per square feet. Mm-hmm. You know, because I can see on a full home, you know, it's $300-$400 a foot. But on a kitchen, how do you sort of ballpark
it? Well, even a whole home, you know, you look at square foot costs, and it's like pricing a car per pound. You don't go to the Porsche dealer and say, well, what's the price per pound on a, you know, 911 versus a Taycan? You know, it doesn't add up. Now, what I like to say is that there's starting prices on everything. And I can look at a 12 by 12 kitchen and say, hey, look, it's probably going to start at this cost. It could be $50,000. We can make it $450,000 if you want to. I mean, it just takes what level you want to take it to. So I always like to start with a client, like, what, let's not sit on price. Like, at some point we need to qualify if this prospect is going to be able to work with us, but what's your pain, right? Because maybe the reality is the pain is they want to do a kitchen remodel just because they, it's not functional for them, but we can do little modifications to their kitchen, or another contractor can, to make it work for them without spending $150,000. So it's not all about how much can we get out of you. It's just what's your pain? How do we help you solve that? And as soon as, if you're in any industry, you ask those questions and you give them the answer, then you're going to excel, right?
Yeah, I'm building a family compound right now. And my kids live out there. The grandkids live out there. We're building our house and we're building a clubhouse. And we're running into some amount of supply disruption. We order the windows and it takes 6 months to get the windows, and then they come in at 7 months or what have you. It's like, mm-hmm. you're unhappy because it's going to take 6 months to get the windows, and then it takes an extra month, which I know people are getting hit harder and worse than that, but everything seems delayed from my standpoint. Is that something that's affecting your business?
Yeah, it's gotten a lot better.
Okay.
I think a lot of the supply chains have kind of worked their kinks out. But there's always something like a hurricane that floods insulation plant. You know, those things are always coming up. You know, getting back to that, any industry will have delays on parts, materials, whether you're building, you know, a space shuttle, a car, a house. And it's all about communication with your client. And so if you can communicate with them effectively, and also with your suppliers. So with us, you know, we have a really detailed, called a pre-construction process for every single job. So, you know, we're building a big new custom home right now. Well, we order those windows back in February, and we're just finishing framing now, and it's November. So if you can get ahead of that, what's our long lead items? Start pull planning out, find out what your drop dead date is and back it in, and then also communicate with your client and say, we need to order these windows now. I know you haven't even, you know, finished, you know, even thinking about your paint colors and everything, but we got to order those windows today. And if you can stay ahead of all that stuff and then communicate with your client and then stay on top of your vendor. So we're calling the vendor back in July. Hey, are we still on track for November? You know, we're calling August, September, October, and then we're calling the week before. Right now, those windows on that job are sitting in a warehouse and we're wrapping up framing and we're going to have them delivered next week. But it was, I think, constant communication with them. And it's
constant. What about pricing? So, commodities they sort of skyrocketed for a while. We bought our lumber, like, when my daughter built her house, her lumber was a lot more money than what we had to pay for our lumber. What do you see in terms of commodity prices, like lumber, like concrete?
And again, it just comes down to communication. I'll tell a quick story. Back in 2020, before everything's back when I call it normal times, 2020 and earlier, we used to be able to kind of, you know, understand where pricing was going to be, and it's going to be pretty stable. So I remember some jobs we had in 2019, and they crossed over to 2020. Well, we're in initial pre-construction phase and we're doing budgeting with clients. And I remember telling them originally, yeah, I think your job's $500,000. And by the time we get our budgeting and our pricing done, it's $650,000, $700,000. And I had clients who were just mad at me. And they said, you know, how is that possible? It's gone up 40%. And I'm just like, look, this is what happened. And it's accelerated so quickly. That's all leveled off, thankfully. The pricing is kind of, it's leveled off. It's come down. Lumber's come down a little bit. But it's like gas prices. Nothing really ever goes back. You're never going to see $2 a gallon again now that I know you'll pay $5 a gallon. So prices have come down a little bit, but they're now stable.
Okay.
What we do with our clients is we're always, again, communication. And we're setting budgets and we're being very transparent. I will attach, for example, the lumber order to our proposal to the client and say, look, we have a lumber order of $168,000. And we have escalation clauses. And we have de-escalation too. So if it's 168 and it goes down to 158, we've given credits to the client. If it goes 168 to 180, we have an add, right? And it's all transparent. You can see it. Here's our order on day one. Here's our order now. Unfortunately, that's the reality where we live. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to insulate your company from those escalations, but also educating and communicating with your client to understand that these are some of our variables. These are potential. You may see a change order on lumber. Just to prep them, right? Because you don't want to blindside anyone.
And people that out there that maybe haven't built a custom home before, maybe they've gone and bought a KB home or something like that. You go buy your house and it's like, hey, it's going to cost $600,000, and it comes out at $600,000. You get sort of the price you said, even though maybe it's not, it's taken 6 to 12 months to get it built. You go do a custom home, you can have some budgetary numbers, but you're paying for the amount, for the cost that it takes to build the house at that point, even if it fluctuates a little bit. And then there's the markup, right? You charge some sort of premium percentage wise over what the cost of materials and so on are. Yeah.
Well, and there's two different kinds of, I don't want to get too much in the details, but there's two different kinds of pricing models, especially for custom homes. You have a cost plus fee.
Yeah.
That's when everything's open book. The client sees every single receipt, invoice, et cetera, and there's a fee applied to that. There's lump sum, and that's just, hey, just kind of like KB model, where this is our price. If we go under that, we make more money. If we go over that, we lose on it. We take the risk. At Tankersley Construction, we're generally a lump sum builder. We'll give the client a price.
Gotcha.
Now, there's always kind of caveats to that, a little bit of a hybrid, because we'll put allowances in for things like lumber or windows. And if there's variations on those allowances, then there's a conversation we can provide the client backup and say, look, you know, we have this extra cost. Here it is. So, you know, but a lot of times you get into custom homes, you see that cost plus fee model where it's just, well, we think it's going to cost this and it ends up costing this.
Yeah. That's what I've seen. Again, I'm not I'm not in that much, but, so remodel versus new construction. This is interesting because I've heard of people trying to live in their house during the remodel. What would you say if I wanted to do that? You're remodeling my house. Hey, I'd like to stay there. Don't worry. I won't be in the way.
Well, you will be in the way. But, there's some contractors who say there's absolutely no way we're going to remodel this house, you're living in it. Generally, that's where we fall. A lot of our projects, that's just not reality for people. Not everyone has an Airbnb, second home available. And sometimes, you know, they do need to live in it. Heather and I, we both did hospital work, right? You don't shut a hospital down for a remodel. You have to remodel the area while the clients and the patients are living in the hospital. So we take a similar approach, you know, negative air, dust control, and just really keeping the site pristine. But clients have to understand too, that there's a cost associated with that, right? Cost and time. So it's going to be not as efficient if they live in the house. It's going to cost them more. And generally it's a better idea just to move out for your sanity, your marriage, your children.
I've heard that it's really hard on the marriage, to try to go through a remodel with your spouse.
We did a project in 2020. The clients are supposed to move out, whole house remodel, tear it down to studs. All new HVAC, electrical, plumbing, everything was new. The client was supposed to go on a cruise for a year. Well, 2020 hit and the cruises were shut down. And we already had permits pulled. They were set on this job. And they said, look, we're going to live in it. We needed to regroup, do a multi-phase project. So we had to put a temporary wall up halfway through the house, gut half of it while they lived in one half, and then finish that half and then flip over to the other half. We replaced all their HVAC system, all their electrical system, all their plumbing, fully gutted the house, all new texture, paint, kitchen, bathrooms, everything. This is a several hundred thousand dollar project. They lived in it the entire time. They were elderly and they were pretty happy with us at the end of it. So, you know, we got through it. It was, it would have gone a lot faster. It would save us some money if they were out of it, obviously. And I probably would not do that again. But 2020 was kind of a unique circumstance.
Yeah, yeah. I got to cut everybody a little slack in 2020. Well, okay, so let's talk. I'm going to switch gears a little bit from, you know, the operations of a construction project to your marketing. I, you know, we were out there at our golf tournament. And you guys had a nice booth and obviously great team outgoing. And I follow you on Instagram, so it makes me think, what's your approach to marketing? How do you decide, you know, you're already filled up for next year.
Yeah.
It's not like you really need to do marketing badly now. How do you decide how you're going to do your marketing?
Well, you know, if you follow us on Instagram, if you're listening to this podcast, I hope you go follow us. It's Tankersley Construction. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. All these different platforms are where we're at. I run those pages. That's my role in the company. So if you see videos, generally that's me. Sometimes it's Heather.
By the way, they're really good. I look at this stuff and I'm inspired. I start thinking about, you know, my house that I'm building. And because you've got some really cool projects you're building.
So the approach I take to marketing, I have no degree, so don't take my, you know, don't take my advice to, to its gospel. But it's, people hire companies, whether you're in construction, whether you have, you know, donut shop, whatever it is. A lot of times people will hire these companies or go to their businesses because of the people behind it. You go to our page, there's lots of pretty pictures. We hire, you know, professional photographers, videographers, and that's an important key of that. But a lot of it is behind the scenes. Who are the people who are in this company? You know, Brittany works for us. She is a rock star, right? We want to put her and show her, show the world what she can do, right? Heather can do this stuff. I can do this stuff. And this is what we do because people really like construction in general. And they like to watch HGTV, mm-hmm. see what's behind the scenes. And so a lot of it, you know, we'll just put ourselves out there every single day. I'm posting on the stories or whatever else it is and telling our story. So if you own a business, it's really important to tell your story because otherwise there's no differentiator between you and your competitor. Because your competitor can post pretty pictures too. So I like to be behind the scenes on the camera. I'm really active on social media in our business. I'm kind of active on it and personal. But, you know, every single day I'm on there. And, you know, it's all about just finding your clientele and like getting a foothold and just interacting with people. You know, for us, it's designers and architects and just, you know, social media is such a powerful tool. Yeah. We're right now we launched our YouTube channel about 6 months ago. And as of a 5 year anniversary, we're doing a big push on telling stories of our company, how we started, what our first project was, our most challenging moments. We're just putting that out there. And I've had people come to me and say, I love it. And I've even had people come to me and say, you probably shouldn't be telling people you're only in business for 5 years. You know, and it's like, you know what? It's all public record. I'm not going to sell myself as something I'm not. Like, that's who we are, you know? So, yeah, we've been in business for 5 years. That's a great accomplishment. We're going to be in business for another 5, 15, 20 years. And people just like that energy, I've noticed.
Yeah. Well, I think it's unique that you're making this investment for a company that's busy. Typically, you know, right now what I hear from the public is I can't get my contractor to call me back and, you know, kind of they're so busy out there right now. And that's kind of what I've been hearing for the last couple of years. Yet when I listen to you and you're obviously busy, but you're making this investment in the infrastructure, the marketing mm-hmm. infrastructure, which instead of just surviving this this last couple of years, you're investing into it for the long haul. And I have to tip my cap to you because I agree. Somebody who's only been in business 5 years. Okay. That's interesting. That's probably less than average. Yet the fact that you're investing into the future, like you are, shows me that you're going to be here for the long haul.
Yeah. And I look back at it as I'm hungry today as I was you know, on day one. And so when I sat down at that desk and that day I got laid off, I'm sitting at my desk, where's the first lead going to come in? First thing I did is I start picking up the phone and I started telling people, hey, I'm working on this company, we're doing this. And it didn't take long until I got that first project. And it was a six-figure remodel. And it was, you mentioned people's biggest pain is that contractors won't even call you back. Well, that's a pretty low bar to set. If I could just call someone back, I'm ahead of 90% of my competition, probably, right? Yeah. So I remember I called my buddy, or he called me actually. And he said, hey, my sister needs this kitchen remodel. Can you help her? And I said, absolutely. You know, actually, I'm doing this full time now and I can help her and I could be there tomorrow. And he goes, great, give her a call. Call her up. I'm there. I bring my cabinet guy. I bring everyone out and we get the job. And that was our first job. Well, I had that same mentality now. Flash forward 5 years later, I did then. So I'm always picking up the phone. I'm meeting with designers, architects every single week. I'm getting coffee. I'm making phone calls, handwritten thank you cards, because I'm hungry, right? I want that. I don't want all the jobs, but I want the jobs and the network that really fits who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just,
I have to imagine referral is huge, right? You're sending that thank you card at the end and people are like, wow, I love my house. And then the thank you card comes and it makes you want to tell a friend.
Yeah. I mean, it's just those little touches you can put into your business. I learned those little touches when I was doing real estate back in 2016, you know, those little touches, those set you apart, right? So, you know, I'll use an example of a client I met with. It's actually a project we have in design right now. And I met with her for a kitchen remodel and, you know, it was an okay meeting and I wasn't really sure if she was going to sign with us or not. And I got back to the office and I sent him a thank you card. I said, hey, thanks for your time. I really appreciate meeting with you. If you ever need anything, let me know. Mailed out and I get a call from her husband a few days later and he's just like, got your letter. That shows, or your card, that shows the level of customer service you have in your company. And they sign with us. And so we're, you know, working through that project right now. It's those little touches that set you apart. It's not like how many Instagram followers you have or you know, what your video content is or how pretty your projects are. If you can connect with your customers and that personal level in any business, you're going to excel.
Well, your business is kind of like a mom and pop business. You mentioned your wife several times as a co-founder. And in a mom and pop business, there's a dynamic that occurs and it becomes kind of the culture of the company. How would you describe that dynamic, the husband and wife duo? Who drives the culture? Who's the boss?
Well, my joke with my wife, Heather, is that I built this company and I built this little shack. Right? You picture this shack. It's kind of leaning and it's nailed up with staples. And I built this thing and it was cool and it was making some money for the first couple of years. And she was working her job. And then she came in and she's incredible, by the way. She's process driven. She's in construction and she knows construction. And she came in and she started putting these processes in place. We're going to have this manual. We're going to do this. We're going to put this software into place. And slowly my shack turned into like this Taj Mahal. Right. And so it's this beautiful mansion. Right. And I'm like, where did this thing come from? Right. Well, we built it together and she has these processes. And, you know, to describe our relationship, we're most successful when we stay in each other's lanes. Mm. I'm very driven in the marketing and sales and estimating. So I'm in front of the, you know, customers first. And she's on the back end and she's running the operations and she's overseeing our project management and our field crews. And so a lot of times people think that, oh, husband and wife, well, wife stays at the office and she does the books and she does the design. Like, that's not who we are. My wife runs the construction operations and I run the sales and marketing and I get to do fun things like be on your podcast.
Yeah, cool.
And so that's where we're most successful. As far as the culture of the company goes, we are family owned. Heather and I have separate offices next to each other, but you know, we sat down with our team last year and we created our mission statement and, you know, our vision statement together as a team. And I was a participant in that and Heather was a participant in that. And so I like to say that our culture is really driven by a lot of it's just, you know, it obviously has to be from top down, right? But it's just, these are our core values and our team exemplifies those core values. And so you know, we're a husband and wife company, but you know, we have our designated roles.
Mm-hmm. Do you take work home with you? I mean, do you take a dinner table combo? Is it going to be about work?
I think if anyone says they never do, they're probably lying, or they're so established in their business that they don't. We try not to. We have two little kids. We try to turn work off, you know, every single day. But, you know, the reality is it comes home. And sometimes we catch ourselves, our kids will, you know, like, Dad, you know, stop talking about that. You know, come play with me. Right. So we turn it off and we go do that. It's certainly something we can work on being better about. Yeah. We do set hours with our clients and we're managing those client expectations. And we tell our clients that you can call us, you know, anytime between, you know, 8 and 5, you know, if it's just daily stuff, give us a call or a project manager's a call. Unless your house is burning down, it's flooding, you know, can it wait till tomorrow? Or you don't expect an email response, because as soon as you kind of give your clients, if you start responding to emails at 9 o'clock at night or phone calls, that's the expectation. They're going to expect that the whole project. Oh, well, you answered your phone at 7 o'clock. Why don't you answer it now? So we tell our team that, hey, you don't have to answer these calls at night. Like, we value family first.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, so we only have a minute or two left, but so maybe just closing thoughts. You know, our audience is small business, entrepreneurs, investors. Any words of wisdom for the people out there that are looking to you as something that inspires them and that you know, they would want to be something like what you're doing?
Yeah. I mean, I listened to your podcast before I even started this business. So, you know, there's probably people listening who might be thinking about starting a business. And the reality is there's never a right time. There's never the perfect time. And sometimes you just got to go out and do it. Right. And build your war chest, you know, be comfortable. Don't be crazy about it, but have faith that the things that the universe will provide to you will come to you. Do the right thing at all times, and you know, you'll find that success. And so if you're thinking of starting a business, you know, yeah, get the licenses in place and the website and stuff, but then at some point you need to go out and just do it, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you don't have a perfect plan in place. If you have a business right now, and just do those extra little things to set you apart from your competitors. The handwritten cards, the, you know, the gift card halfway through the project to get nice family dinners, right? Mm-hmm. Those little things will set you apart. And you know, from there, it's just all about hard work. You know how it is. There's no secrets to success. The other thing I also want to share is that Instagram, Facebook, all that makes everything look beautiful. And it's just, you know, you snap your fingers and your kitchen went from horrible to beautiful. It's not always like that. I don't put all the bad stuff online, but I guarantee you, you know, we have our plenty of war stories. And at the end of it, you know, we don't always put that all on the internet. And so take it with a grain of salt, what you see online. You know, we have a very successful company and we have very happy clients, but there's sometimes some friction, some pain to get to that. And that's not always put out on the internet. And so don't believe everything you see. And if you have problems in your business, you're not alone.
Yeah. If you have problems, you are not alone. Keep the faith, build the war chest. And sometimes you just got to go for it without the plan. I love the advice. Thanks for sharing your story. Very human. I think it's inspirational because you're kind of like the entrepreneur next door to me. And that's what I want to be for our community as well. So anyway, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Marvin.
You bet.
Now, let's get Mark's perspective and closing thoughts from today's show. We're back to the Marquee Media Studio. It's the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show. Really enjoyed the conversation with Stephen Tankersley. Again, when an entrepreneur succeeds, it can be infectious in many ways. Not only does he inspire the rest of us to build something important, to build something meaningful, but himself or herself, when they are successful, they end up wanting to give back to the community. They end up being generous. Stephen Tankersley and the Tankersley family have been really generous with what we do around here. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, We help veterans. I think I mentioned that. We help veterans. And one of the events that we do is a golf tournament. Tankersley's, we're highly involved in that. But we also do something called Comedy for a Cause. It is coming up January 28th. It's in Roseville, and it's going to be hilarious. It's a night of laughter with me, my investor buddies, my entrepreneurial buddies, and it's guys and gals, it's civic leaders of the region, getting together to have a few laughs, drink a couple of cold beverages, and just, we have a kick in the pants. I mean, it is really one of the most fun nights of the year. It's January 28th. You can go to haneybiz.com if you want to get a ticket or you want to buy a table. And beyond laughter, you're doing something good for veterans, which is always nice when you can have fun doing something good for society. That is doubly worth it. And I mean, that's what I do on the show. I feel like I'm doing something that's good for society because entrepreneurship is good for society. It is the American way. Entrepreneurs are what built America. And so if I can help share the stories of winning and of entrepreneurship and how you get your company from point A to point B in order to be successful, then I'm contributing as well. I mean, I think a lot of you know that I'm also an investor. I wear a couple of hats, my own companies, own a number of companies as well. One of those companies I'm co-founders with is called The Growth Factory. We're a startup accelerator and an accompanying venture fund with a backyard advantage. And that's really my big endeavor that I think is going to take over this next several years of my life from a business standpoint, is helping build this backyard advantage. And the backyard advantage is this group of leaders in Sacramento, entrepreneurs in Sacramento, investors in the Sacramento region and beyond, people that get it. Some of them are, we have corporate partners, we have municipal partners, but it's really this group of people that get it. They understand the power of entrepreneurship, but they also want to do something about it. They understand that when an entrepreneur succeeds, it's good for our region, and they want to help make that happen. So I get to build the backyard advantage, which really is this tribe of savages. I get to put myself in the middle of some of the most successful people in the entire region and build this community, this tribe, this extremely connected community that wants to help others. And I was just on a Zoom call not 10 minutes ago. And the guy, and this, I hear this quite a bit, is I'm working on this right now, but eventually I want to do what you're doing, Mark, which is helping other entrepreneurs and really doing something that's impactful beyond just building a business for me and my family and my employees. I want to build something that's got this legacy kind of effect. And I think the backyard advantage can be that for the Sacramento region. And ultimately, I think it could be that for any town in America by rallying the people in that region to do something positive. It could be around entrepreneurship. It could be around your church, but it could be around, really, it could be around an industry. It could be around the security industry. But we've chosen to do that in a civic-minded way around the Sacramento region and focused on entrepreneurship because every entrepreneur matters. Every entrepreneur needs to have that best chance of succeeding because it's really, really a difficult thing to do is to be a successful entrepreneur. It's a full contact sport, and we want to be there as the advantage to help pick you up, dust you off a little bit, and get you back in the game when you get knocked down. And part of that is experience sharing. So as I mentioned, we have a fund, so we invest, we have mentors, and we do a big piece of education. We get people connected up in the region. We inspire people for entrepreneurship, but some of it is just around an education. And the best way to learn about entrepreneurship and around winning is to just get in the game and get yourself dirty, get knocked down. That's the best possible way to learn. You're not going to learn as well from the sidelines. You're not going to learn as well reading a book. You're not going to learn it from your college professor. You're going to learn stuff, but the best way to learn is to get in the game and experience it. That experience, sometimes it comes in the form of failure. Sometimes it comes in the form of success. But that's how you learn. But the second best way to learn is to talk to people that have been there and done that. And so on the show today, whenever I have a show where I've got a little bit extra time, I'm going to start a new segment. And this, today I have a couple extra minutes, and it's the Ask Fog statement section of the show, the Ask Fog segment of the show. And Fog stands for freaking old guy, in case you didn't know. But it's who I've become over the years, is this old guy. I've got 8 grandkids now, so I've become the old dude around. And one of my grandchildren called me Fog the other day, and so that prompted me to want to start this segment, Ask Fog, because people do ask me questions. They ask me questions about entrepreneurship, how do I do what you've done, Mark? And so I've made a quick list of some of those questions. I'll dive into one to start, and if there's time, maybe I'll get to a second question. And this one's one of the most common questions that I hear, and I actually think it's a basic question, but it's common, and I get asked it a lot. It's, how do I get plugged in to the ecosystem here in the Sacramento region? And I take that question as, how do I get plugged into the entrepreneurial ecosystem in the Sacramento region? And I guess the first question I would have about that question is, why do you want to get plugged in? Why do you want to get plugged into the ecosystem? Because there's a lot of reasons why people want to get plugged in. If you want to get plugged in just to sell something, I don't know if I have that quick answer. If you're just marketing your product, I don't know if I really have the quick answer on that one. But there are people that want to meet other like-minded people so that they can build relationships with people that are sort of running in those same lanes. And so what are those lanes that I run in? What are these lanes in the ecosystem? Well, I mentioned investor. So I'm plugged in with the venture capital community. I'm invested, I think, into every venture capital firm in the region. I'm an angel investor. I have the Growth Factory, which is an accelerator with a venture fund. So I'm highly plugged into the venture capital arena. So if you're a venture capitalist and you want to get plugged in, I can talk about that. Maybe I'll start with that. I would say hit me up. I mean, that was... Hit me up. I'm probably someone you might want to know, since I'm pretty connected in town. I am a SAC angel, in case you wanted to join the SAC angels. And if you're new to this asset class, I'm the type of guy that wants to help break it down to you and help you to learn about it, demystify it, if you will. My team and I actually do an angel investor 101 class and a venture investing class where we kind of break down how you get involved in this asset class. So if you have interest in that, just hit me up on social media. At the Mark Haney is my handle on Instagram, or you can send me an email, mark@haneybiz.com. But I would say hit me up directly on that. If you have a question too, I mean, I'm somebody that you can just hit me up with any question as well. So in terms of reaching out to me, probably you investors out there, I would advise you to reach out to me. If you are not sure what you are, maybe you have some experience and you want to lend your time to this community. Because as I mentioned, the Backyard Advantage in our community, if you will, this ecosystem, it's comprised of mentors that can go hands-on and help one-on-one with startup founders and founding teams. You can also be asked to speak at an event, but it's all around helping the entrepreneur and the founder. So if you are one of those people that says, hey, I want to give back, well, we need you. And I would definitely say you can hit me up again or my colleague Monique Brown, who's a co-founder of the Growth Factory. She's somebody else that I think would be a good point of contact for you if you want to get plugged in as somebody who wants to give back in terms of your time. It's a great community. It's a fun community. We have events. So, you know, if you come to one of our events, you're going to end up meeting. We kind of have a no jerks policy, right? So it's all people that get it. They understand the power of entrepreneurship and they want to help out. They're civic minded. They want to give more than they take from the community. So if you're one of those people that wants to give a little bit of your time, and you want to give first, and the rewards kind of come in the relationships that you meet, that you make over time, I would say hit me up or get connected up to Monique Brown. And if you are an entrepreneur, you are the hero of this whole journey. You are at the center of this whole endeavor. You are the hero of the American economy. You're the one taking the risk. You're the one making the sacrifice. You're the one that's changing the world. You're the one that is creating opportunity for the rest of us. And, you know, you really, if you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to build your company alone, I would say that you might want to rethink that. If you get involved in a community that has your back, that can be enormously helpful. It can open up doors for you that are really tough to get open alone. They can open up this broad realm of information that you might have access to, but you might not even know it exists. And so a lot of times there's these light bulb moments that happen when you get around other like-minded people in entrepreneurship or in venture or along with these mentors. And I would definitely say getting involved with us could be helpful. So how do you get involved with us? Well, you can come to our events. If you're a highly successful entrepreneur, there's an organization called the Entrepreneurs Organization, EO. I've been the president of that for the last couple of years. Now the president is Todd Ballenbach, good buddy of mine. He's also part of the Growth Factory. But you can hit me up if you have interest in getting involved in EO. There's also a place where you can go, I'd say if you're an earlier stage entrepreneur, that ends up being kind of like a good place to start your journey. And that's a place called Startup SAC. And you can Google that, but Laura Good of Startup SAC is really a quality human being. She is the team mom for entrepreneurs in the startup area of the Sacramento region. And she can be a good traffic director. So if you, maybe you're a college student, you need to get plugged over into the things that are going on in Sac State and the Carlson Center, or at Sierra College or at William Jessup or around UC Davis, she can be a great traffic cop. If you have an industry focus, she knows where all the different industry focus, places where you focus are. There's all kinds of places. There's places, the mobility center, where you can focus on building things associated with automotive. There's AgStart, if it's an agricultural type, business. There's medical places. If it's clean energy, there's Clean Start. There's all kind of, and I'm leaving people out, so I apologize for that, but Laura can get you plugged in. I can get you plugged in, and Monique can get you plugged in as well. So if you have an interest in plugging in, you know, Google it and don't be shy about reaching out. And that's, I guess that's what I would say to you is, if you want to get plugged into the ecosystem, start by showing up, start by reaching out. It's a baby step to get involved. But if you have a good experience and you want to get more deeply involved, then show up in a big way. Show up in a way that gets yourself noticed. Show up in a way that is helpful to other people so that people want to reciprocate. Show up with love. And that sounds a little corny, but the Backyard Advantage and this ecosystem that we are building is all around building trust, building stronger relationships that can last a lifetime. And ultimately, it's building these loving relationships. And these are the relationships that've got so much value. And, you know, I've taken sort of a simple question and given you a long answer. How do I get plugged in the ecosystem? And it's at first, before you just say willy-nilly, I want to get plugged in, think about why you want to get plugged in. And then think about how you get plugged in, where you might want to get plugged in. And then take a nice direct approach and reach out. And if there's any doubt, always come to me, mark@haneybiz.com. I'm also mark@growthfactory.us. You can go to our website at growthfactory.us. And again, you can hit me up at one of these events. I'm out there. I'm in the region. And oh, I forgot to mention Startup Grind. I was just speaking at a Startup Grind event. They're another place that does these really remarkable stories of winning in-person events. I was at one the other day where I was actually one of the people speaking. But Rich Foreman over there is a good guy to connect with as well. So I'm going to wrap up quickly to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship, all you fighting the good fight out there for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. You know, here at Haney Biz, here at the Growth Factory, here on the Mark Haney Show, never above you, never below you, always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.